From the land of Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of August, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Look at the cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And check in on the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies. Along the way today, we'll update you on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. It's underway. I spoke with Chip Flory out on the western leg of that tour earlier today. It's already up on the website along with the Twitter feed. You can follow it all there at willag.org. If not, you can catch up with it right here on our radio stations from WILL and Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago from the CME Group for Monday afternoon, the 18th day of August. Nearby September wheat at $5.42.5, down 8.75. December at $5.54.25, down 9.25. Next year's July, the harvest month, a dime lower at $5.93.25. September corn at $3.60.75, down a nickel. December at $3.71.5, 5.5 cents lower. The March corn at $3.85, 5.25 lower. July futures $4 even, down 5.5 cents. In December of next year, $4.13.5, down 4.75. September beans $11.15.5, up 13 cents. November at $10.57.75, up 5.75. In January soybeans $10.66.5, 5.5 cents higher. The March at $10.74.5, up 5.5 cents. And July beans at $10.86, up 4.25. Next year's November at $10.64, 3.75 higher. Bean meal up $3.80. Bean meal finished bean meal up $3.80, and bean oil finished 9 cents higher. Live cattle futures on the day in the August contract at $151.60, a dollar higher. The October at $148.55, up 80 cents. August feeder cattle at $218, 2.5, 80 cents higher. And September futures at $216, 7.5 cents, up 97.5 cents. October lean hogs for the day finished at $95.10. That's 15 cents higher. December, however, down 17.5 cents at $88.87.5. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. You can find all of our programming online on demand whenever you'd like to listen at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Let's check the outside markets at this hour. September crude oil at $96.48 a barrel, down 80 cents, 87 cents that is. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, $2.65.5, down 4.3 cents. Ethanol futures at $2.13.1 cents, 2.7 cents lower. Natural gas up a penny the day at $3.78.6 per gallon, and the diesel fuel at $2.81. That's down 3.7 cents. Of course, that's always the ultra-low sulfur diesel traded in New York. And the gold futures at $1,297.90. That's $6.80 lower for the day. The U.S. dollar at 81.57, up 0.15 on the afternoon. Let's check what the weather forecast has to say for the Urbana-Champaign area today. As it comes from the National Weather Service, partly sunny skies, a high of 83 degrees. Calm winds today, a 20% chance of showers. Some thunderstorms, they'll come after 2 in the evening, a.m. that is. Mostly cloudy and a low of 66 degrees. Light and variable winds tonight out of the south at 6 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, a 40% chance of rainfall. Mostly cloudy at 86 degrees. South-southwest winds at 6 to 10. And Tuesday night, again, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy and a low of 66 degrees. Wednesday, sunny skies and 86. Wednesday evening, a 50% chance of showers returns after 8 p.m., mostly cloudy otherwise, and a low of 69 degrees. And on Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 89. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy and 71. And Friday, showers and thunderstorms, sunny and 88 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. It's the 18th day of August. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the phone line is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take up today's agricultural trade in Chicago. And I suppose it's all a Twitter about what's happening on the crop tour today. Anything else going on?
I think it's great news to be receiving from the Twitter crowd and social media. You know, they they're moving through these fields and giving general observations. You got to kind of take it and leave it. One particular instance, there's powder, but yet it had cracks, but yet it was dry, but it had a yield of 171 bushels the acre. So there's a lot of interesting information coming out. So the neat thing is the recaps this evening to see what type of data they put together. Overall, I think it's going to be confirmation that we have a decent crop to work with. How big we'll argue with that clear into next year.
What are the other items that are in the trade for the day?
Well, there's a lot of little things. Basically, the evening trade, trying to price in some moisture coming across the Midwest here, should benefit the crop in some areas to help it out. We'll see what this afternoon's crop conditions report shows, particularly the state-by-state breakdown as a whole. We're kind of the seasonal shutdown mode on the weekly conditions report. But overall, conditions are fairly decent. We're seeing some concerns in a few areas with disease and so forth. We'll see what that says. But probably the big news or the concern was the wheat market. Brazil proposing implementing a 10% import tax. It looks like wheat moving into Brazil would be slow, which would hurt some of our export potential to that country there. Rain in Australia, that's going to help them out quite a bit in some drier areas there. Then, of course, Black Sea region. We're seeing the crop come on fairly quickly in that region. The fear is that producers would be potentially quick sellers getting their money due to uncertainty of what's going to take place with shipping and so forth. So a lot of news out there, selling the wheat, buying beans, good old-fashioned spread activity taking place here, Todd.
Can you stay with me for just a minute, and I'll get back to you, Kurt, but I have just made a phone call and have Matt Bennett, who's on the crop tour in the western side of the United States with us, and I want to bring him into the conversation. Hey, Matt, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm very, very well. You were, I think, on the western tour and started out maybe in Antelope County, Nebraska, earlier today. Is that right?
We actually started out in South Dakota, and we took off north and west of Sioux Falls. And we ended up, we are going into Grand Island this evening, so we've been through South Dakota and northern Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know what, I was talking with Chip Flory earlier today, and we'll hear that in a bit. He's in Antelope, or was, earlier this morning.
Yeah.
I saw the nice picture of you being delayed last night on your Twitter feed there in Chicago, and you finally made it in, and then another nice picture with you and Mitchell at the Corn Palace. That was good, but what we really want to know is what the corn looked like today.
Yeah, the corn in South Dakota was probably not quite as good as maybe what we were wondering what it might look like. We, we had several fields that were in the sub-150 range. You know, I'd say our average through everything we went through was probably 100 and a quarter, maybe. So there was a lot of areas that had significant problems from this spring with water damage, and then it's awfully dry everywhere we went. So. Looks like a lot of the people that maybe got a little bit too much rain earlier in the year didn't get it whenever they needed it.
Who are your traveling mates on your particular run this year?
Yeah, I'm with a guy named Jeff. He's from the USDA in Washington, D.C., and then Angie McGuire. She's from Citizens in Michigan. And those two are travel along with me, and we're working together, putting together yields. I'd say the beans, relatively speaking, were maybe just a little bit better than what the corn was, in my opinion. But and they still got a ways to go, of course. A few late rains could help them out quite a bit.
Well, you let Angie know that you and she are both embedded into our website at willag.org, so those who don't have Twitter can actually follow the two of you. We'll see how each of you do on feeding us information and whether you agree, too, and others, many others, too, from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Thanks so much, and we'll look forward to hearing from you probably each day. I'll try to give you a call, Matt, if that's okay with you.
That sounds good.
Okay, that's Matt Bennett, of course. He is out on the Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour. You can see his tweets, if you're not on Twitter yourself, on our own website at willag.org, willag.org. Let's bring Kurt Kimmel back into the conversation. Kurt, how does the trade examine these numbers that come in from The Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour, does it really make a difference, or is it just fun to watch, do you suppose?
I believe it's kind of on the fun side. I can't say fun, but I think it's just on the informational side. It might give the market a little blip here and a little blip there, but it's not like a big release of a report. There's constant feed going on and taking place, so it's really no real shocking news to the market. I think it gives the bull or the bear confidence if they see, you know, the information come in their favor in certain parts of the country. Probably the recaps overnight in the opening trade in that 7-8 o'clock area when they had those recaps in the evenings will probably be a little bit more of a market maker versus during the day.
All right. Anything final from you before I let you go for the afternoon?
It's a dynamic market in through here. It's kind of choppy. Technical action in the corn was quite dramatic. A big weekly reversal up last week, followed by an outside down today. So there's going to be a lot of ups and downs.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is underway this week, and calling from the western leg this morning to talk to us about what he's seen and what the tour will be like is a man who's been on that tour and sets it up each and every year. That's Pro Farmer's Chip Flory. Good morning to you, Chip. Thanks for calling in from the road. Where are you today?
Right now, I'm sitting in Antelope County, Nebraska, and just really getting a good start on my portion of the route here and on the western leg of the tour.
Can you give me a primer of the tour, what you tell folks to look for, and what it means as compared, for instance, to the USDA crop production numbers?
You bet. Number one thing is we do everything as consistently as we possibly can from year to year when we're out here on the road, and that means that we run the same routes on the western leg of the tour that we run every year. We run 10 routes. We travel in teams of 3 or 4 scouts per vehicle, and we run the same routes, but we don't stop at the same fields because the scouts are responsible for selecting which fields they stop in. But once we get into that field, we get past the end rows. We go 35 paces down the main rows, and we'll lay out 2 30-foot plots of corn, count all the ears that are going to make grain in the total of 60-foot of row. And then from one of those rows, we pull the 5th, the 8th, and the 11th ear, and those are our sample ears, and we do that consistently, and that brings some randomness into the process, too, because it could be the 3 best ears in the field, could be the 3 worst ears in the field, could be 3 very representative ears, but we always pull the 5th, the 8th, and the 11th to remove any of the bias of any of the scouts that might be out there on the road. Then we measure the grain length in inches. We don't measure any bare cob. We don't measure aborted kernels. Only the grain that's going to end up in the combine is what we measure. We count the number of kernel rows around, and that, along with the row width in the field, is the information that we need for our yield calculation. And as far as what we're looking for out here, Todd, we let this tour be what it's supposed to be, and it's a discovery process. That doesn't mean that we don't have any expectations when we get out here on the road, because everybody's been talking about this crop for so long. Of course, we've got our expectations for it, but we've got to let it also be a discovery process and let the tour tell us what the crop is really, really all about. And the trouble that you can get caught up in when you're out here is that you're running one route and you think that what you're seeing on your route is exactly like what everybody else is seeing on the other 9 routes out here, and typically that's not the case. Conditions vary considerably across the across all the stops out here, or all the routes out here in the Western Belt.
How did you tell the tour participants, if you did at all, to deal with second ears? There may be more this year than there have in the past, and I'm sure you had to have a discussion of some sort about those.
Yeah, absolutely, and we always count the second ear second. If the primary ear on that stock is number 4, and the second ear on that stock, if it's going to make grain, is the 5th ear, then that is pulled as part of the sample process. Now, if the second ear is ear number 4, then we're going to pull the primary ear off the next stock as the 5th ear for our sample. But we count the second years out here. We don't see a lot of them, though, Todd. And even over in Illinois, where there was all the talk about the high number of second years out there, some of the guys have been telling me here over the last couple of days that basically those double ears were there for about 2 weeks, and then the plant did what it's supposed to do, and it cannibalized that ear and sent all of the good stuff that was that second ear was stealing from the primary ear, sent all the good stuff up to the primary ear. So there's still a few double ears left out there, but I don't think there's going to be a huge number.
It's important for folks to understand that you run through the primary counties that raise corn in the United States, but not the outside areas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We run through, in South Dakota, we just hit the southeast corner of South Dakota, when it used to be that that's where all the corn in South Dakota was growing, but you get up into the northeast and east central part of South Dakota, and there's a lot of corn growing up in those areas that we don't have time to get to on a tour like this. And then we stay basically east of Grand Island in Nebraska, which means that we get a little bit more dry land than samples than we probably should, but we know that, and we account for that. And then the best coverage for any of the states that we cover is Iowa. We pull a sample out of at least one sample out of every county in the state of Iowa, because corn is growing everywhere in Iowa, and it's important to try to hit all the counties, try to figure out what the yield's going to be. So our best coverage is in Iowa. Our worst coverage is probably in South Dakota. But we do, you're exactly right in what you're saying, is that we do stay where the corn production, soybean production is most concentrated.
And what have you seen so far this morning on your route?
Yeah, it started off, you know, number one, the color of the crop out here is very good. It doesn't look like we're seeing a lot of disease pressure or anything like that. Soybeans are coming along very well. You know, they got off to a little bit of a rough start, but here about 3 weeks ago, they really squared up, and everything seems to be clicking along for the bean crop out here. Just one stop so far this morning because of the way that we're running our routes, Todd. And I was a little surprised by and again, it's just one field, but there were some emergence issues that were pretty easy to spot. The two different levels of maturity on the corn, on the sample ears that we pulled out of the field. So you got to be a little bit concerned about the later developing ears. And even the more advanced ears in the field were still in the milk stage. And for Nebraska, that's a little unusual. And I think it's typical. It's evidence of the cool summer that they've had out here. We just haven't pushed the corn crop with the heat like we did 30 in the morning in Nebraska here in Antelope County, and it's 77 degrees. There's been times where it's been 100 degrees by 10:30 in the morning out here. So it's the crop just, I don't want to put too much heat on it and finish it too fast. Let's just slow cook it into the end of the year, get an extra week or 10 days of frost-free days at the end of the growing season, and it's going to be just fine.
Chip Floria, of course, is on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Joined us on the closing market report. You can find it at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you really want to follow the tour, one of the best ways is to follow it with a hashtag on Twitter. That's hashtag PFTour14. At willag.org, we have a curated list of folks that are in the website from that Twitter feed. You can just watch it there if you don't actually have a Twitter account. Hey, thanks so much, Chip. We do appreciate it.
You bet, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Chip Floria is leading the western leg of the Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour on Commodity Week, by the way, this week. We'll talk with Brian Grady. He's on the eastern leg, and he and Chip and the whole crew will get together, and we'll get their finalized numbers during Commodity Week. That's at 2:36 Friday afternoon, right here on your home radio station for agriculture, willag.org. WILL AM 580 from Urbana, Champaign. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market and Brian Stark, who is from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about local basis and corn conditions and what generally you're thinking about the marketplace today.
I guess the biggest thing for us, obviously, I'll start with corn basis. Basis, and I might as well throw in beans, too, continues to be firm as we transition from now into a new crop. Seems to be well wanted. And I think for the most intensive purposes, most farmers have moved their old corn, old beans off farms. So the processor, the end user, obviously, is still aggressively seeking stock to carry them through here for the next 30 days. It feels like we're a little bit behind in maturity. Crop looks great, but just a little bit behind as far as start, and we're not anticipating a lot of new crop harvest until the end of September.
Does that mean you'll have quick ship bids?
I think there'll be some quick ship bids for opportunities, specifically on beans for sure. Corn is debatable depending on how much the commercial wants to hold going forward, but I think for sure on beans you'll see some of that. But again, I don't know from a maturity standpoint how much will be ready to come off here.
Which sector of the commercials are hungriest at this time? Would it be the ethanol plants or the folks that you feed to the south?
I would say right now it's mostly ethanol. At least that's the strength. And margins have been really good the past 60 to 90 days and probably even longer than that. And obviously they've been the most hungry. It seems like local harvest for a lot of the customers we deal with in the southeast is getting closer and closer. They won't have as big of a transition as some of the local ethanol plants, depending on where they're located in the Corn Belt.
Tomorrow it will be a week from the USDA crop production report and its release last Tuesday. Have things changed very much? Does it feel like this crop is getting bigger or smaller to you?
I would say it's getting bigger. If you look at the key chart for us is looking at the record ear counts, but also looking at the ear weights. And the ear weights last Tuesday represent more of a 10-year type of a number. And if you equate the prospects we see to more of an 09 or 04 type size crop, your ear weights are probably going to get bigger as we move forward through the September, October, November, and obviously the January S&D reports. So our anticipation, we think the yield could grow 3 to 5 bushel the acre on the corn side yet.
Your bids for the day?
We are 360 cash corn. New crop corn is 344. Cash soybeans 1218. And new crop beans are 1038.
Thanks much, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark of the Andersons, back in 2 minutes with the weather.
It's National Ice Cream Pie Day. The Eskimo Pie, America's first chocolate-covered ice cream bar, was invented by Christian Kent Nelson in 1920. The inspiration was a boy making a purchase at Nelson's confectionery store. The boy started to buy an ice cream cone, but then changed his mind and instead purchased a chocolate bar. Nelson asked the boy why he did not buy both. The boy's reply, "I wanted them both, but I only have a nickel." Thus the inspiration for Nelson's creation of sticking melted chocolate to frozen ice cream. On this day in agricultural history in 1850, Henri de Balzac died, a French author. He would lock himself away during creative bursts, drinking coffee and eating only fruit and eggs. When he finally took a break, he was known to consume huge quantities of food. One report recalls that once he consumed at one sitting 100 oysters, 12 cutlets of salt meadow mutton, a duck with turnips, 2 partridges, and a Normandy sole, not to mention the desserts, fruit, and liquors he finished up with. And in 2004, it was reported that it rained fish at about 2:30 in the afternoon in Shropshire, Western England. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On this Monday afternoon, turning our attention to the weather forecast from Earth Risk Technologies to help us out with that is Mark Russo in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, thanks for being with us. We're starting to hear about dry conditions in some parts of the world here, maybe China, but you're the expert and I'm not. What do you see?
Well, the areas that we're watching here, in other words, the acreage here in the Midwest that has received less than 50% of normal rainfall over the past 30 days. We kind of define that as more of your kind of critical threshold for dryness. But that acreage is included here in portions of southern Minnesota, northern and northeastern Iowa, in southwest Wisconsin, and even into the northwest corner of Illinois. And so that's really been the driest acreage, and even some of that acreage has received less than 25% of normal. So that's really become the focus of attention and rainfall prospects coming up from now through the end of the month. And our forecast calls for opportunities for rainfall in that dry pocket from now through the end of the month, with the timing being basically every few days. In fact, we are expecting showers and storms to develop across that dry pocket here by later on this afternoon, evening, into the overnight hours. And now the question is, what are the specific rainfall totals within that dry pocket? But let's say even if they do miss out here over the next 24 hours, we see another opportunity here on Thursday, an additional one coming up Saturday into early Sunday, and then some additional opportunities next week. So the pattern is active across the Corn Belt, and so those dry pockets we feel will contract with time.
Will heat catch up on growing degree days then, too?
A little bit here. We are going to have a warmer than normal week, especially as we get into the back half of this week when temperatures climb into the upper 80s, maximum temperatures upper 80s, and even some low to mid 90s. A few upper 90s in portions of the southwestern Midwest, but that looks fairly short-lived as we do see cooler weather working its way in late in the weekend and the early part of next week. That's cool there that we'll be kind of building up across the Canadian prairies coming up, but overall, it looks as temperatures will be quite variable, so no long-duration warmth that would really help accelerate growing degree day accumulations.
Any merit to the whispers we've heard about China suffering from dry conditions?
Yeah, in their area of acreage within the northern North China Plain, southern Manchuria, provinces of Hebei, Shandong, even up into Jilin and Liaoning, that acreage has received a less than 50% of normal rainfall over the past 30 days and the focus of attention. And we feel that dryness will continue as limited rainfall looks to be the rule from now through the end of the month.
That should make for an interesting corn harvest for them. We'll have to stay up to date on it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this 18th day of August, a Monday afternoon. Please do visit our website. Remember, the guys are out, the men and women, on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. You can follow them on our website or on Twitter, on AgWeb, however you do it. It's kind of interesting to watch. We've got an embedded Twitter feed in our website if you don't happen to use Twitter, so you can keep up there if you'd like. It's all at willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.